I'll read it as it appears in the New King James. This is Psalm 26. A Psalm of David. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with the hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence. So I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitations of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinister scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. Our aim in these psalm meditations is to give explanation of things that might be curious and to see Jesus Christ. So I want to call your attention to really the main theme of this psalm, that it speaks about opposing wickedness. It leads David, first of all, to speak of his own righteousness and then to pray against the ungodly. He starts by asking for vindication. And that's a word that means that David was facing accusations and facing oppositions. There were enemies that were arrayed against him. And so David comes and asks God to uphold him, both in his personal life as a child of God, but also speaking as the king, as he would lead God's people. He asks the Lord to vindicate him. David bases this appeal for vindication on his integrity and on his innocence, or what we might call his righteousness. And that's a very interesting appeal because we know from all of Scripture that there is none who is righteous, no, not one. To be clear then, David knew that he too was a sinner, that he could not argue that he was free from sin. And this psalm makes that very clear. If you look down in verse 11, David pleads for redemption and for mercy. Those are actions of God that admit sin. But in the face of these specific accusations, David could indeed plead that he was innocent. He even lists specifics of the ways in which he pursued righteousness. David also voiced his hatred of wickedness. You can see that in verse 5 and following. He says he would not take part in the hypocrisy that he saw around him. You can see that he took sin seriously and he would not play around with it. He also took the holiness of God and the glory of God very seriously. So much so that he would align himself with the things of God, not with what might have made him comfortable in the eyes of his enemies around him. He would pray against and oppose those whom he calls hypocrites, evildoers, and those who derided the holiness of God. In this way, David leads us to pursue holy living and to hate sin. I want to call your attention to a very specific application of David's prayer. It appears that the enemies that he identified were not outside the nation of Israel. Instead, he was finding opposition from hypocrites that were within the people of God themselves, even among those that were assembled together to worship God. He says, I will not go in with the hypocrites. I will not participate in their assemblies. And so David was finding within God's people, and even within that assembly of worship, those that were opposing David and opposing God and his directions. We might call this the visible church today. We would identify it as the body that you can see visibly, that is made up of a mixed character. There are some that are wolves in sheep's clothing that come in and are seeking to devour the flock, as Paul says in Acts. And so David, in this way, we can see as being a type of Christ. That David, during his earthly ministry, Jesus, during his earthly ministry, was consumed with a love for his heavenly Father, much as given as an example of David here. He was consumed with the worship of God. That led him to oppose those who were hypocrites that he found there. Jesus denounced the Pharisees. He denounced them openly, calling them hypocrites and a brood of vipers, those who obscure the law of God and who refuse to offer the grace of salvation. He also physically cleansed the temple. And so later in the Psalms, in chapter 69, you can find it expressed this way, that Jesus had a zeal for the house of God that consumed him. Those are words that were remembered and quoted by the disciples describing that zeal that Jesus had. And David is a type of Christ in confessing this type of love for the glory of God and for his holiness. But then notice that David did not use the hypocrisy and the wickedness in that, if you allow me to call it the visible church. He did not allow that to be an occasion to leave the church. Far from it. In verses 6 through 8, David draws even closer to the worship of the Lord. He finds his identity in the God who is confessed there. So rather than looking for the approval of the hypocrites, or to allay, or to try to diffuse the opposition that he found there, he really zeroes in on his Savior, and he zealously goes to worship, to meet with God there. He did labor for the purity of God's people on the one hand, but he also didn't retreat from the visible church when he found it impure. And maybe you know why I'm saying that. It's because I, unfortunately, often find people doing that very thing. They find the church to be full of sinners and full of hypocrites. And so they decide, well, I can't go there. Now, there are times to call for the reformation or the repentance of a church. There are times as an individual might be maturing in faith that you seek out a place where there's a faithful presentation of God's gospel. But far too often, it is the small difficulties or personal offenses that have caused people just to leave the church. And to leave it completely, thinking that they are going to be better off not gathering together with the church. And so they have church on their own, or they worship privately. Well, David here is, again, a type of Christ. Jesus, of all people, knew that the church was full of sinners. Jesus, of all people, would have known that and would have been able to very clearly identify that in the church that he worshipped in his earthly ministry. But Jesus did not withdraw from that. In fact, he presses on in what God had for him to do. He loved the church, and he gave himself for the church for the purpose that it would be cleansed. In this psalm, we are led to have a same love and passion for the glory of God and for his church, for the bride. Psalm 26 leads us to be serious about sin, but also to be serious about the guarding of our own tendency to withdraw in self-righteousness. So with David, we will say, as verses 11 and 12 say, "As for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregation, I will bless the Lord." Throughout this month, we'll be singing the A selection. Be thinking about Jesus Christ each time you sing this and his passion for the glory of God and his church. Let's sing Psalm 26A. I invite you to please stand to sing.